Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. You'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hi, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge the first Wednesday of every month on Lucid Planet Radio. You can stream all of our podcasts for free on thelucidplanet.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud. Just search for Lucid Planet Radio. And remember, you can connect with me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Dr. Kelly Neff. Wow. If you guys are with me from the last show I did where we talked about how to cope with social isolation and quarantine, for many of us, the situation is either the same or worse or has accelerated. Obviously, there is a huge amount of strife and fear and anxiety circulating in the world, not to mention misinformation and confusion. And I wanted to do a show today that is about exploring hope and consciousness and kind of battling fear during this very difficult time. Fear, I believe, is one of the most toxic things that we can internalize right now, that removes our goodwill, it removes our joy. But it's very hard not to feel afraid when, you know, we're being told on the one side, you know, this virus is like extremely deadly and very harmful. And on the other side, our economy is going to collapse and more people are going to die of suicide and starvation than the virus. You know, many of us are feeling restless, frustrated, depressed, stressed, afraid. I know I have been cycling through the stages of grief, and that some days are worse than others. And, you know, sometimes it's just get through it day by day. Sometimes it's hour by hour. Sometimes it's minute by minute, just trying to, you know, hang in there. And it's hard because we say we are in this together, but many of us are in very different circumstances, whether you're working on the front lines or you're being forced to stay home, or you're losing your jobs, we're losing our businesses, we're taking care of people who are sick, or we're forced to stay away from our loved ones. These are all different and stressful and challenging situations where it is really easy to lose track of our humanity. And all of this isolation is definitely taking a toll on our mental health, not to mention all of the fear and uncertainty that is causing us to lash out at each other on social media. We can feel like we are really lacking in goodwill. And yet, you know, so that's kind of my rant, that it's tough right now and I'm feeling it too. And I consider myself an optimist and a pretty positive person, but this has been rough, you know, and it's been about, what, 6-7 weeks now that I've been in social isolation. Just with the people that I live with. And it takes its toll on your mental health for sure. But even still with all of this, you know, we are still seeing glimmers of hope and small random acts of kindness and reminders of our elevated human consciousness, that we can rise above this fear. We can rise above this all of this crap that's just weighing us down. So today, I have a little treat for us, which is something to uplift us in these very difficult times. And I am waiting right now. I hope he makes it onto the show, for author James Redfield, who wrote the book, The Celestine Prophecy. And for many of us, this was a very life-changing book. For me, certainly, I read it, I think it was about 25 years ago. And it definitely jump-started my spiritual awakening and journey. And I've heard the same said by many people. The books in his Celestine series are deeply beloved, and people are once again reading them and sharing them with each other during these troubled times. If you haven't read the book, or if it's just been a while, essentially, the book uses an adventure parable approach that has been called part Indiana Jones, part Scott Peck, And it created a model for spiritual perception and actualization that really resonated with millions of people and focused on the mysterious coincidences that occur in our lives. There's a big focus on synchronicity and hope and intuition. And the book quickly climbed to the number one position on the New York Times bestsellers list, where it stayed there for more than 2 years. And what I think is really cool is that I was reading this book, and yesterday, you know, I thought I'd reread it, and it was exactly what I needed, because it was just a reminder of our intrinsic humanity and how we are connected. And it was one of the first books, really, at the start of the New Age movement to talk about energy and vibration and raising your vibration and raising the vibration in your body by the foods that you eat, by connecting with nature and how you can send and give energy to each other. And this was in the mid-90s. And this was definitely pretty groundbreaking for the time to have it all summarized in this way. And the book does a lot of just kind of offering a new perspective and a refresher, at least for me. So it was what I needed to read for sure. Yesterday, after just going through the turmoil and the tumultuousness of the last couple of weeks, months. So I guess I'm still waiting on James to get on the line. But in the meantime, let's just take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about the Celestine Prophecy. Stay tuned.
Break your snooze button habits for good with the Soul Stretching Sisters on the I Am Power Hour with me, Terry J. Walker.
And me, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories.
Aspire higher.
And live a whole lot larger.
To help you unleash your powered up.
Pumped up. I am soul stretching success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Calling all moms. It's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, and loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power at work, home, and play. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit VibrantPowerfulMoms.com.
Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? Tune in to A Spirited Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We discuss the evolution of the modern mind and how the power of awakening, healing, and connecting allows us to step into living a life of love in action. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host Tanis McRae is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit talkingtotanis.com.
Welcome back to the Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with bestselling author of the Celestine Prophecy and Vision series, James Redfield. Hi, James. How are you? Welcome.
I'm good. Good. Excited to be out on the road again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you say out on the road, are you out of lockdown or is this a virtual tour?
Well, you know, no, we're still constricted in terms of having events, but in terms of radio shows like yours and you know, my own outreach, we're keeping it going. So, you know, I'm talking a lot about the re-release of the Celestine Prophecy.
Yes, absolutely. Now, why now for the tour, and why is it so important that it is now?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, my publisher called me and just told me, said, what are you doing? There's something happened with the Celestine Prophecy. What's going on? And I said, well, nothing out of the ordinary. And then she says, well, it's getting passed around at new levels all of a sudden. And we tried to really look at what it is that was happening out there. And, you know, we just got a new pass along wave coming from really all three of the biggest generations out there, but also among millennials and their older children who are approaching college right now. So what's happening is, you know, it's kind of a new time in the world, I believe, because we have because of, you know, what's occurring. We started this before the the pandemic, but what was happening was that we have all these generations tuning in and asking the higher questions about life, and that's what the Celestine Prophecy speaks to.
Absolutely. And I know, I read it when it first came out in the 90s and I was in high school. And I was saying in my intro, I reread it yesterday, and it was kind of exactly what I needed. Just like a boost of like hope and kind of positivity and awareness in the midst of all this like horrible chaos and stress and fear that's circulating in the world. Now, we're actually seeking out some medicine, something to make us take a deep breath and help us kind of get rid of that toxic fear, that vibration of toxic fear that's all around us.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the antidote for fear or irritation even or anger, any of these things that are coming up right now for us being locked down, you know, the solution, of course, always is, you know, tuning into a kind of a higher inspiration energy, you know, connecting with this in a conscious way, you know, asking the big questions about, you know, what is my purpose? What do I really want to do? How do I get the world to open up for my creativity? You know, is this a spiritual world where that's possible? Does synchronicity really happen? What's going on with all that? And it's, you know, there's an energy that people are finding, and it's the energy that, you know, I was in when the Celestine Prophecy was put together originally. So, you know, it's really fun to see that kind of searching and finding. People are discovering, you know, their highest creativity, even in the midst of all this.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions that I had for you. I'm a writer myself. I wrote a book last year around the same time that I've been in quarantine this year, but I haven't been really feeling my creative flow. I have a lot of anger and frustration and kind of going through the phases of grief. And I think for many people, we have this downtime, but we're having a hard time clearing our minds to use the downtime. Do you have any advice on kind of how to get into that creative flow right now?
Well, you know, it's all in the Celestine Prophecy. And but, you know, what we're doing now, in my view, is we're moving from just finding that, you know, getting reconnected with that inspiration energy, you know, a kind of higher purpose awareness that we can get. And we're moving from just the inside of it, that this is possible. Synchronicity happen.
Yeah,
synchronicity meaning mysterious coincidences that help us in life, that open up doors for our, you know, our secret ambitions to do something with our lives, our higher purpose that we feel, you know, those things happen. And the way to find that, I believe, right now, because we're moving from insight into that to the ability to sustain that higher level of inspiration, energy, and synchronistic flow in our lives. So all that's, in my view, now, because there's so many people asking the questions, it raises, you know, a kind of spiritual consciousness on the planet. And
I agree.
View, and I'm telling people everywhere, that we understand how to reach that flow, how to find our most inspired emotions and purpose. We know how to do that now. And it's been 100 years of the human potential movement that's finally drawing conclusions now. And people are starting to follow a real path into the kind of life that is possible for us.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up about the last 100 years and kind of this movement. And one of the things I've loved about your writing is that you do give a historical context for understanding the evolution of human consciousness and human awareness. I know in Celestine Prophecy, we start, you know, with the last 1,000 years. And then at the beginning of the Celestine Vision, you talk about kind of the 1960s movement and progressing all the way through the 1990s. Spiritual awakening. And I was just, as I was reading that the other day, I was just so curious how you would evaluate the first two decades of the 20th century. Because on the one hand, yes, we have this massive health and wellness movement and people making healthier choices and caring about the environment. But then on the other hand, you have massive corporations that don't really seem to care about the environment. And a lot of people who are just online having massive fights with each other all the time. And so it's kind of like, to me, at least, it feels very much like we are evolving, but there's also a lot of toxic, kind of murky stuff around us still. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's exactly true. I mean, in these first two decades, we really have moved through. We've begun an integration of, you know, the spiritual side of life, the consciousness side of life, the caring about the future of humanity and wanting to be involved in a positive evolution. I mean, that's moved from just the mental idea of it to an actual kind of actualization within us so that there's a possibility now to move into the consciousness that has, where we have the ability to sort of manifest more for our lives and yeah, make sure that we're helping the humanity move forward. And the thing that's also been exposed, though, is just how much corruption there really is out there.
Absolutely.
We're doing this knowing, and not in opposition. I tell people all the time that, you know, it's not a war. You're not trying to at war with those who, you know, are secretly living in this big corporate conspiracy to make sort of economic slaves out of all of us, you know, and to reduce our possibilities of what we want to create, even narrowing those, you know, to their own end, seeking their own ends. So it's, you know, you don't want to point too much to conspiracies, because it's all manifest by fear. You know, these big entities that want to control everything, they're in fear, and yeah, the only thing that seems to satisfy that is just more power over people. You know, they operate through these massive control dramas, and the problem, you know, with that, you know, with understanding the dark side, is that they pretend to be looking out for everyone's best interest, and they will start talking about, oh, the environment this and the environment that, and we need to just if if everybody would just allow us to control a little more, you know, we could fix all the problems in the planet, and you know, we'll create a utopia, and, you know, kind of a socialistic utopia. But that's really not what they're creating. What they're creating is pure fascism. It's pure economic tyranny and, you know, all that goes with that. So, but again, we have to step back and really put this in perspective, because it's about recognizing the dark side and all these forces that want to suppress what we put on social media and what we give to our friends, what we want to do with our lives. You know, we're not at war with these people. It does not work that way. As soon as you start yelling at some politician on the television, you're right there in the dark side with them. And so, you know, it's the Star Wars message. You know, you can't go to the dark side, or you lose your connection. You know, your soul's connection with the best creativity that can come through us. So what we have to do is recognize that that's going on, and realizing that the solution, in my view, is to stay in this positive consciousness and spiritual connection, and, you know, watch for intuitive guidance that is there for us, so that we can do the right things at the right time to create what we want and to bring the message to the world that we want to do. And again, that means staying on the light side. And the good thing is, at this moment, right now, we know exactly how to get clear enough to really step into that that flow of creativity, you know, our best creativity, and understand that the spiritual side of this universe, you know, is here to help us do that. It's really all designed to help us step into this kind of flow. And it's very important that, you know, that's what we say out loud to other people, and try to give messages to other people that, you know, this, you know, don't get bogged down in depression about the state of the world, because, you know, what is occurring on the side, on the consciousness side of things, is really very, very positive.
And I love hearing you say that, because it does feel like it's so easy to just see what's right in front of you. And, you know, you talk a lot in your books about vibration and energy exchange and power and, you know, control drama. And, you know, it's definitely something that we're all witnessing, that everybody's like, there's conflict all over the place. And, you know, especially with online communication, I think that it's fair to say that people's control dramas are kind of being played out through this online fighting that's been happening. And it's kind of worse now than ever. And obviously, you know, that's something that this is new to human communication. And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on, you know, again, how to not get sucked into that, because it does seem very, you know, like it's going to cause a lot of darkness and anger and frustration in people, just based on kind of how you wrote about human energy exchange and human communication in Celestine Prophecy versus what we're seeing now with online communication.
Well, let's just talk about the abilities that come from the consciousness that we can develop and get in touch with that are occurring right now. In fact, I'll just go ahead and mention that we're building out a community, a learning community about all this on my site, which is celestinevision.com. There's a place where people are interested in this. You know, if you want to make progress with your life and become your most creative self, you know, that I believe that we really do know how to get that going, how to start it, how to move into that kind of flow in life. And so this community is going to be about that. So you might want to be interested in it, or and wants to pursue information about it. Just, you know, leave us. There's a place on the website where people can leave their email address, and we will and we don't do, those are all kept private, as everyone would expect from me. So, but we'll give you up-to-dates and new information about where we are with the process. We're about, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks away from opening, but it'll be about all this in a very systematic way. But let's talk about just what we know about opening up our lives to that kind of flow that's exemplified in the self-esteem processing. And I think it all begins with self-awareness. And that's interesting because, you know, we lash out of anger and all these lower emotions knock us out. And, you know, we go to our own control dramas as self-protection. And the way to go in terms of the merging spiritual consciousness is to go in exactly the opposite way, which means become aware of what pushes our buttons and become aware of what particular emotions erupt in us that knock us out of our flow, essentially. Mm-hmm. Because if we're blaming others or fighting with others, that's just a symptom that we're not connected with our highest creative selves. So again, it's somewhat to catch a little bit of self-awareness, and then we have to find our spiritual connection. And you know, we're not. This is all more about the scientific discussion about what these spiritual experiences are than it is creating anything religious. You know, people will choose their own religion, but these knowing kind of a scientific description of these experiences is a good way to, you know, live in a particular religion, but, you know, be about reforming that and moving toward not just doctrine, but the true experiences of spirituality. So that's what I talk about in my book. You know, it's the conclusions I believe the human potential movement as a kind of scientific, a scholarly discussion of what these experiences are, and then the beginning to move into those. So again, once we sort of become self-aware, which is the only way you. If you rise above yourself so that you realize what our outbursts are, or our control dramas are, to try to make ourselves feel better in life, once you kind of look at those and realize that that's not how we have to live, you know, exactly. the way out of that is, of course, sitting with ourselves alone in a meditation kind of a process. Now, this process is being able to sit alone and quiet our minds. So no matter what, as soon as you sit down in meditation, if you've tried it, you know this is true. It's hard to be there in the silence because our mental selves are programmed to say, what are you doing here? You don't have time for this. You got to go look for a job. You know, you just lost your job. Yeah, all the things that come in. And but you just have to say, you know, it's just 10 minutes, it's just 20 minutes, you know, just, you know, I can be quiet in my mind. And just every time something jumps up or you have a daydream about what you should do or any scolding yourself or whatever happens, you let it go and you come back to a quiet mind. You're just sitting there with yourself. And we're developing a meditation that I believe is super fast because the mantra of that meditation is seeking the emotion of love. Now, yeah, all the poets have it right. You know, God is love. You know, you want to connect with this mysterious help that we have in life, then we have to feel, remember all the times we've loved, and try to feel that as just a state, not with an object, not love of a person or anything like that. You can call it loving yourself or loving the divine, but it's a state. It's a state of love. It's an emotional state, okay? Just like anger mm-hmm. and fear and all the others. But it's mm-hmm. it's our true emotional state that gives us, centers us in our life journey, number one, and it calms our emotions that knock us back, you know, when we get afraid or if we get angry and lose it. You know, it. If you're practicing love and you're feeling that, then that's the master emotion of spiritual connection. So it's, you know, I argue with some people who say, oh, that's too religious or too, it's not, you know, it's not strong enough. It's, you know, love is weak. Well, exact opposite is true. If you want the strongest centered self, then you want to calm your emotions, that's the way to do it, because a lower emotion, sometimes they'll still come and knock you out. But if you come back to love, and that's what you're practicing in a meditation, coming back to love. And if you come back, sooner or later, after a time of meditating, you are able to walk your walk in waking consciousness out in the real world, centered with a quiet mind and a sort of a rocket-powered love, emotional stability. Now, that's just the beginning. The rest that comes in is in our intuitive intelligence, right?
Yes.
Our intuitive intelligence is what gives us these intuitions to act on our problems, to act what to do about our dreams. You know, you get urges to do something, research this thing, research that thing, go talk to a particular person that you run into, that you overhear talking about something that you're interested in. You know, we have to learn how to, you know, start up a conversation, you know, but that happens because that love base is strong. It doesn't care about who thinks, who's making fun of us or who might make fun of us or any of those things that you worry about. You don't worry about those. You're on a path. And then what happens if you follow your intuitions is you have these mysterious synchronicities. Now, the first thing these mysterious synchronicities do is give you solutions to whatever you have. You lost your job? Okay, that's your question. How should I pursue a job? Okay, you get intuitive information about that, and then a mysterious, and that'll lead you someplace where a mysterious coincidence will happen.
Yes.
A lot of people, you know, have these mysterious coincidences concerning how they wind up with their job, current jobs, or how they move to a better job, or how they found their the love of their life. It's all available to us as a flow in life. And so what happens is if you use your intelligence, our intuitive intelligence, what happens is we get a flow of synchronicity that solves our problems first. Then it starts to clarify our mission, what our souls really want to do in life. And so you can see now how it works. Now, I would talk about the third step into this, which would be if meditation is the first step, but the third step into this is being on the right side of karma. Because if you want your life to go right, you have to be a giver in life. And being a giver in life means that you're trying to be a synchronicity for some other person. You're scanning your intuitive intelligence to say that you'll get an urge to say something about how you handled a problem, or you did this, or how you took a growth step, and you'll have the urge to bring that up in the conversation with somebody. And if you do, and you build courage around this. If you do say it, blurt it out in some way, very often from the other person, you'll get, I needed to hear this. That's exactly what I needed to hear at this moment in my life. Okay?
So have you ever felt, you I've definitely felt that. I've definitely felt that. Sorry.
That we can have.
Yeah, totally. No, you can continue. I just was thinking, I've definitely had where like, I want to say something to someone and I feel embarrassed or I shouldn't. And then when I do, they're like, I needed that so badly. It happens all the time.
That's right. And see, it happens normally. I mean, we're not talking about anything that's not already happening. We're talking about amping it up so that we have all these incredible experiences of intuitive guidance and mysterious coincidences. And but again, on karma, you have to be a giver. Okay, so here's the way the karmic design is. And people argue with me about that. And I say, well, look, just test it out. You know, the human potential movement, all of these philosophers and mystics and everybody who's contributed for 100 years, the consensus is the karmic design in this world revolves around giving. So are you a giver of synchronicities to others? Do you think about that at least 50% of the time? Do you check in with your intuitions to help people? Or do you not? If you do, if you're really a giver, and that means you're in line with the design of the universe, what happens is that you draw more givers into your world, right?
Yes.
And so your synchronicity and all the magical moments come faster because you're on the light side of life. You're helping, trying to create a better world, trying to help people along the way. But if you're a taker, okay, if you have these control dramas where you, you throw people off balance so they'll defer their energy to you and you feel better about yourself because you've dominated their energy, that's taking. That's taking, whether you're unconscious of it or not. And what happens if you're a taker? And all the rest, we just described the dark side, that's what they are. They're takers.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, they take from each other. They think that the only way to get rid of your fear about life is to steal what you want. So that's the dark side. And if you're a taker, you just suddenly are, that's where you live. And so it's so important to really make a intention to move into the giver side and pay attention to that and get in the habit of that.
And also, because can I just interrupt to say, can I ask you a question real quickly? Sorry. So I also want to make sure, just to clarify, giving isn't always a physical thing, right? This is also in terms of love and energy, not just literally like giving people stuff, right?
Well, yeah, you're talking about especially, but it's sometimes the stuff. Yeah, I recommend people, and this is the hardest time to possibly do it, but probably the most important time.
Okay.
I advocate what all the religious traditions say in some way, and that is to give a portion of your income away. Just give it away. And you can start at 1%. You can start with $5. But what happens is if you're waiting around, it opens your intuition because if you have a, you got $100, maybe that's a percentage of what you made. And you think, okay, where should I give this? You know, who am I supposed to give it to? It opens up your intuitive intelligence. It's all kinds of crazy, not crazy, but amazing synchronicities happen. I had money in my pocket to give away, and I'm just waiting for an intuition on where to give it. And I've had people drive up in an old junker car smoking and have it completely blow up right in front of me. Right?
Oh my gosh.
So that's pretty clear. I'm supposed to help that person with the their car expense, and that's exactly what I did. And so those are the kind of mysterious happenings that are so joyful, in the lights out life. I mean, it's just so much fun. But the thing is, move from taking to giving. Because yeah. if you're a taker, you draw other takers into your life.
And you're a giver, you draw givers.
And at university, I did an internship at a prison, and full of and was supposed to be doing a group, and did it really a group with all thieves, right? And they would argue with me. I was talking about, well, does that really serve you? You know, here you are in jail. You know, you think that's a good way of life? And they say, well, why not? Because everybody else steals. And I looked at I talked to them about it, and I said, what makes you think everybody steals? And they would say, everybody steals from me all the time. And I said, well, it's interesting, because nobody's really ever stolen anything from me. And so you see what happens on the dark side. You get cynical, because, you know, if you're a taker, then you draw into your life other people who take very similar to you. And so they take from you, not as punishment, but to show you the harm that you're doing, so you can move on the other side as a giver. The world is designed to be a spiritual learning experience. And then once we learn how to move into the high creativity part of this life. Now, I know this is, for some people, this is just like, wow, I can't change my worldview that much.
But sometimes it takes an extreme experience, though, and then things do change.
You're very interested in health matters, and so am I. And it's amazing, because it's a big part of the dark side out there wants to control our health.
Yeah.
They want to control what we have to do. They want to put chips in our hands. I mean, I'm not kidding about this. Chips in our hands so that you know, they can, you know, create a new pandemic, so that we would have to put more and more technology into our bodies in order to, you know, they want to monitor us so we can't even cross state lines unless we've had all our vaccines. And while
I'm not doing that, I'm not putting a chip in my hand. I can tell you that right now.
Well, listen, that's what they want, because they don't care about anybody's health. They care about the money they're making inventing these pandemics, so they can have a new bunch of vaccines they can force everybody to take. And I just want to say one thing about that. Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's a famous neurologist who's looked at autism and other areas. And he has a podcast, so listen to his podcast on vaccines. And he's a foremost expert, but he's been shunned of late because he's saying information that the big medical establishment does not want to hear, and that is that every vaccine creates brain damage in an adult or in a child. And we're seeing what do they give children now, 20 at a time, or 10, 15 at a time? So listen, this is a hard wake-up call for people who have children, and I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Get become aware of the damage that vaccines do.
Thank you for that. My biggest thing is, I encourage everybody to do their own research and, like, really look at peer-reviewed research. Don't just read an article on the internet and say, I researched it. No. Did you look at the journal? Did you look at the sample size? Did you look at who published it and what their interests were? We can all train ourselves to do this. And I used to teach research methods, so this is like second nature to me. But I think a lot of people, we think we're researching stuff, but it's just confirmation bias, and we end up finding things that reinforce our point of view. But the information is out there. You just really do have to look for it. And I want us to say that because it's so easy just to believe everything the media tells us, but that A, where's the fun in that? And B, it's usually not true. So.
That's true. And that's the dark side. And realize that, you know, what we want to do is move into this super creativity where we're intuitively guided by a higher part of ourselves that's really spiritual. And and that we, you know, we keep doing that. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about the insights or the, you know, the understandings about how the world really works spiritually. Energy.
I would love to do that, James, but we are almost out of time, if you can believe it. I'm just asking if we can go any longer, but we are literally, we have like 2 minutes left. That went by quick.
Well, we should do a part two sometime.
Yeah, we definitely should. But I'd love for you to close us out with a thought or two.
Okay. Well, listen, if you want to explore this, prove it to yourself, start to intend to give energy. Okay? So set an intention. You know, just say to yourself, yeah, I want to give this person, looks down, I'm going to give them energy. Okay? Now, what you do is that you just intend that this energy that comes from, you know, the deepest part of you, the loving connection part of you, this is love energy that you're sending to somebody. What happens is that if you do that and then you look for, you know, kind of joy on the other person's face while you're talking to them or whatever you're doing, you can see that the energy is uplifting them, okay? Every religious tradition has all these scriptures about uplift others, right? And if you just look for the joy and just look at for that expression and almost like you're almost helping them move into it by looking for it in the conversation, then what happens is that they'll just pop into this kind of joyful mood, and their mood will move into that kind of joyful connection. And that's our birthright, love-based emotion all the time. And one other thing about that, when you intend to do that, realize that the energy, that boost of energy is coming through you and flowing over to them, which means that it's a way to keep yourself up, keep yourself in this spiritual connection place where all your best ideas about dealing with this pandemic will happen.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much, James Redfield, for coming on the show today. And we will definitely do a part two. But in the meantime, I agree. Spread love, hold on to love, stay positive. Don't let this fear override your right to feel okay inside.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.